Call to order this regular assembly meeting of City and Borough of Blaine, Alaska, on May 24th, 2016, at 7:00 PM. Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Mark Mitchell, after which the indication will be given by Don McConaughey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we begin another assembly meeting, and especially at this time of budgeting concerns, keep our leaders vigilant. Guide them to attain the best possible solutions for our city and borough of Wrangell, and bless them for their sacrifices that they make on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Don.
Thank you. Well, we have a few ceremonial matters this evening. First, we have a couple of awards here that they're actually from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. One is for Kim Lane, and I'll read it. Your assistance is gratefully acknowledged in remembering the sacrifices of Northwest Mounted Police Constable Spencer Heathcote and Constable Norman Campbell, who drowned on duty near Wrangell, Alaska, in December 1901. And it is my pleasure to recognize your assistance and to extend our warmest appreciation and gratitude to you. This was awarded by Chief Superintendent Peter Clark, Commanding Officer M Division of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
I would have settled for their hat.
There also is exactly the same thing for Jeff Rooney at his work at Public Works. And just if, and you could make sure he gets it, please. Along with that, I'd also like to recognize several other people. Although there isn't the awards, there were several others that were instrumental in helping in this and putting it together, making sure everything worked. One is Jeff J. Bush, the borough manager; Carol Rushmore, the economic development director; Nancy McQueen of the Nolan Center; the public works crew in its entirety; Amber Haddad, the public works director; Doug McCloskey and Merlin Ellers of Wrangell Police Department; and I believe there were some other officers present.
Jimmy Nelson.
Tasha Moore, a Wrangell Public School music teacher, who sang the American and Canadian anthems at the ceremony. Christine Jenkins, from the Native elder who gave the prayer at that. Virginia Oliver and Arthur Larson, Native drummers, who were there present also. And finally, but not least, is Cindy Crary, Wrangell Chamber of Commerce Director, and the Wrangell Public School District for allowing us to use equipment that made this event possible. We thank you very much. Next thing we have is a certificate of service. The City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, presents this certificate of service to Marlene Clark for her service and dedication as a member of the Nolan Museum Civic Center Board from December 2013 to May 2016. We thank Marlene for her service. Thank you. That is all the ceremonial matters. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Here.
Prasanka?
Here.
Rooney? Decker? Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments? Item four, conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any item on the agenda? Item five, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those items marked with an asterisk, specifically 6A, 7A, 7B, 7C, and 7D.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Chrisanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Borough Managers Report.
Other than my written report, I was contacted by Patrick Mayer, the school superintendent here some time ago, and he had run into a fellow here several months ago that has done several schools, parts of schools, under a completely new concept. He has a presence at the University of Alaska campus, and then he's also this fall going to start another school in the Matsu Borough. And what's different about these programs is the kids that are coming out of his programs are far and above any other graduate you'll see in high school, anywhere in the state. David was at this. I've seen the statistics. The kids, as an example, he said there was a kid that come out of a school up north. I can't remember what school it was, but it was a native school out in the, you know, out in the bush there. And this kid graduated the 4.0 grade point average. He was the valedictorian and went to college. They tested him there, and it took him 2 years of remedial classes before he could take a college class. That is not an uncommon theme everywhere in Alaska, even your Anchorage schools and everywhere else. The kids coming out of this, by the time they're done with their junior year, they're ready. If they go a fourth year, they will have, I can't remember how many credits, if they go 4 years of high school, they would have like 45.
One full year of college.
Yeah, one full year of college, and they're ready. They're tested ready. They're testing some of these in the top percentages in the United States. And the timing on this, and so the problem is these kids, they're starting this in the Matsu Borough next fall, this program, within one of the current schools because they had an empty building for him. And so all the kids from Anchorage or around that area can drive there. But the kids in these other places don't have that opportunity, and they're just not getting it in the public school system. His vision is to put in a 400-bed facility here in Wrangell at the Institute property, and there's a lot of questions. I mean, there's a lot of, it would have to work somehow within our school district as a program so that those kids would get the per head count money, but there would still be the expense of that the state wouldn't pay for the dormitory, you know, the homing them kids. So there's some obstacles there, but the results of his program that he's been working on for over the last 20 years are unbelievable. It's just these kids that when he first started this, he would come to school districts and say, I'd like to instigate this program, and on and on, oh, we can't do that. The kids are too dumb to do that. And he said, some of these kids, and it's mostly native kids, and he's got native kids now that are, and part of his program is integrating them with real workforce places, you know, like BP and engineering firms, and these kids are unbelievable. They come out of this program, and they're just exceptional. He works on, you know, everything from, he sent kids to Harvard leadership programs, and this is it's an unbelievable thing, and the statistics, are, and he's got awards from the president and presented to him in the White House, and I mean, it goes on and on and on, and he has this vision that this can work. And he said, if you get it in one school and it's working, and a school like this, you know, then you can put one in Bethel, and then you can put, you know, several hubs around the state and start turning out kids that are, you know, doing great things. And that, actually, that brochure there that I handed out was, shows some of the statistics in there that, I mean, it's just hard to argue. And I can't remember what the name of the institute was, but it was originally set up by Lyndon Johnson to look at education and other things to study and see what was going on and what's working and what's not. They actually asked them to come in, and they had a bunch of professors and other people that spent 18 months evaluating his program, and they said there's nothing like it in the United States. It's like kind of the top of the top. He said these kids are just, and these are kids that they said you're too dumb to do anything. So now they had a 17-year-old girl that was working with BP, their engineers and stuff, and she was doing math problems that some of them didn't know how to do. So anyway, that's his vision. We had a meeting today. There's been, you know, it's preliminary, but it's also the timing with the design of the institute property and the planning for that to look at that. And of course, what he's going to be, our institute folks are going to be back here on June 13th and 15th, through that first through part of the week, and they're going to do their public presentation. And I think probably what they'll do here at this time, if it's something the public says, yeah, this is BS, it'll never happen, but he's raised over $45 million in the last, I can't remember how many years, he said, from private donors because this works, from BP, from Mobil, from Rasmussen Foundation. And those people want to be part of this. It's successful, and so it's, I don't, you know, you never know. It's there's a lot of hurdles to overcome. There's a lot of course, the funding thing is a big deal, but he's got momentum, and it's something that's worked, and it's proven, and it's.
How did you hear about us, Jeff?
Actually, Patrick Mayer was at some kind of a superintendent's thing or something up north. Probably in February or sometime, and this lady, I believe it was a lady that is the superintendent of schools in the Mat-Su Borough that just took the Anchorage job, and she said, and she knows Patrick evidently, and she said, you know, you got to meet this guy, and so she's endorsing this from the superintendent of the Mat-Su Borough to start the school in the Mat-Su next year. Now this wouldn't be a housed place, like I said, the kids can drive there, but. She believes in it and thinks, and then as you get some momentum with this, it puts a lot of pressure on your public schools to up the bar.
Yeah.
And he was saying that evidently every state is allowed to put in what their basic requirement is and what their proficient requirement is in the state, and every state can set their own. Well, our proficient area is just barely above the basic in a lot of the other states, so our basic is lower than anywhere else in the United States. And he said if you set the bar higher, they'll come to it. But if you set the bar low and you're getting A's because you're down here, parents come home with the A, or parents see the A all the way down the report card, my kid's doing good, go to college and they can't pass a test there and have to basically start over. So he believes that when they get there, they should be able to do this and this and this and this, and his kids are. They're performing at unbelievable levels. And so anyway, it's a, you know, it might be a pie in the sky, but I think it's something that he'll be down here, I believe, or some of his co-people at that workshop. And so I think the main thing is when we do that, there's plenty of land out there to reserve an area here, still do other things, housing, but if this could happen, I mean, you're talking, you know, I don't know, maybe 100 people out there that, you know, would be well-paid jobs year-round or mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing, and And not only that, you'd be, if this works, it would be a model that would shine anywhere in the United States. So it's kind of a pie in the sky, but like I said, he's got a, in that report, it shows a list there somewhere of all his, the supporters. I mean, there's major businesses all across the state that have given him money or some kind of other support. So there's, the industries believe in it, other entrepreneur people believe in it, the trusts believe in it, the Rasmussen has given them a bunch of money, and actually, I think when he goes back up there, he's having a meeting with Kathy Rasmussen and knows them well, and of course, Rasmussen have always had a soft spot for Wrangell, and a lot of times, if you can get a big chunk right up front, then all these other people, all those guys know, Gates and all these big givers, and so, yeah, I want to be part of that. He is, so, you never know when it could happen. But anyway, we'll bring something back to the assembly at some point, and probably he will need something that, some kind of a resolution or something that supports the idea, and he's not asking anything at this point. We got to be, certainly cautious to how we get into this, but I think all the money to build this, he's not asking the city to do that, but provide the area to do it in, and so at some point we probably need to give him some kind of a resolution that the assembly endorses this concept and encourages him to move on and da 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 da. So anyway,
I got an idea. Let's have him build a hospital and we'll give him a hospital for their school.
Maybe.
You'll go for that, right?
Yeah, I'm in favor.
But, one other thing, if you have that out there and you have all those, you got 400 kids and 100, so there's 500 more people in town, certainly it makes a hospital more viable and other things in the community. They will be buying things in town here. I think the number he threw it out is about $10 million into the economy a year. That's about what I think Edgecombe, and they're roughly a 400 bed facility. But so anyway, it's
sounds great.
And we had our two consultants here for the mill and for the institute here with talking to him and just kind of getting an idea of what what their needs are. So anyway, I think that's about it.
Well, thank you. Any questions for clerk's file?
Other than what's in my report. How can I live up to that?
Okay. Well, then, item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Are there any reports by any assembly member?
I'd just like to say a little bit more of what Jeff was talking about. Last year, they had 1,200 kids that applied for this. They could only take 140. There was questions of how many could he fill the 400 beds to, when could he fill them? His answer was tomorrow. I mean, they have, this program is taking off really big in the state. Everybody wants to come to it. It's academics only. I mean, that was another question. And basically his idea is if you want to be excel in academics, you come to it. If you don't want, don't come. That's the bottom line. There's no sports involved in it, which is kind of weird.
I think they would have probably like intramurals. They'll have a gym, yep, and stuff. Yep. And they'll have recreation there, but they won't be traveling because the kids couldn't keep up with their studies. Like here, sometimes they're gone for a week.
Yeah.
And he said if you did that with this program, you wouldn't make it.
You wouldn't be invited. Because it's an invite basically only. The other thing was I would really like to, I don't know, Carol asked us to, at the meeting, kind of put an input in, to put it into the plan. I don't know if that was done. Did you guys talk about that, Jeff?
Yeah. So on the 13th, they will integrate that. And there's already a part of that in that plan that was reserved for a vocational or some kind of a school concept, but there wasn't anything concrete. And then there's also area in there for assisted living kind of thing. And both of those, I think there's plenty of room to do both of those there, so.
Okay, because I would like to say that for what I got from the group that was here, we'd like to see some kind of plan when they come back. So.
Was there any Native representation at this?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I think it's really important, given the history of that property, that we are really, really cognizant of what took place out there and some of the historical trauma that will be associated with that.
And that was a major focus. We invited several key people, Kenny Lewis, I think we invited Aaron. I don't know if he was able, I don't think he was able to come, but there were several other people invited, someone from the chamber. Susan was here from the school board, So, and I think as we go forward, we had a kind of a limited group to start with, because I can tell you as soon, and this is what Patrick will tell you, as soon as this, after this meeting, it kind of gets out into the public, there's going to be a lot of negativity from, you know, kind of the status quo in education. You're going to have pushbacks from different folks. He was showing that you could actually save the state of Alaska about $6 million a year, because you're going to get these kids out of high school in 3 years. You don't have to fund them for a fourth year, but yet they'll be ready and more than ready to go into college. And so the stats show that this works not only long-term financially, obviously you got to get the upfront money to build it, but I mean, he had some numbers or not, and then save parents money that their kids will be done. You know, they go here, and then when they go to college, they only got to go 3 years and they've got a degree. So there's a bunch of areas that he, by this acceleration program, that, you know, saves money long term and does a better product. So anyway,
this is year round, isn't it? Is there no summer break or anything?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I don't know if there is or not.
It is. What it was it was basically a normal high school, 9 months, and then they have summer programs. That they also, the kids who
for middle school kids.
Yes, for middle school kids. It's, I can't remember what he called it, academy.
Yeah.
Academy for middle school kids, and that's how you basically get into this school, is you got to go through his academy, which is all professors and that teach this thing, and you got to go through it, and you got to pass it and to qualify.
Yeah.
So it's not something that, it's not boarding school, it's not something you just get to go to. It's something, it's pretty intense.
And competitive.
Yes.
You know, I think this is something that really the assembly needs to stay on top of. And would you be willing to kind of be a point man for the assembly on that, since you're already involved?
I'll go to every meeting that they have. I think this is a really great thing. Now, there was some concern at that meeting also about You know, you build something like this, and I wasn't really talking hardly any numbers, $30 to $50 million to build something like this. He's a go-getter. I mean, he's got a lot of money and a lot of people backing him. You can see it in this thing. There's a lot of people backing him. I don't mind at all. I would go to if I'm capable.
I don't know what the rest of you think, but I think that'd be a very good
idea. I like the idea. I think it'd be great for Wrangell.
Yeah. And I have a feeling that Jeff is right. I think now that it is out, we're going to have a lot of, as he would put it, butt people, but this, but that, you know. And I think he's right. And there's going to be people that are going to not want something like this. I had an off-the-wall idea. I'd rather it called be, I know what the history of the Institute property is, okay?
Shoemaker Bay or some other.
Yeah. Some kind of development. Let's just rename it.
Well, I think that's something, that's something our consultant said also.
Yeah.
Is I think this development project, we want to name it Shoemaker Bay or what, some other thing. I think you want to get away from the other name. Because
yes, I would like to see it renamed to something like Shoemaker Bay Development Area or anything.
Whatever.
Yes.
Anything further on that? Any other reports?
Just give an update on SEPA. The Swan Lake Rays project is moving forward, but kind of slowing a bit as well. We've run into a bit of an issue in negotiations with Ketchikan, who wants us that pool to pay, the issue is we have to draw down the water in the lake to get it to a level where we can complete the construction that we're doing. And so we need to draw it down, but of course it goes through the turbine, so it has to be, you have to generate power, and the power's got to go somewhere. So we want Ketchikan to take more power while we're doing the drawdown, and until we can get up one of these big, and it sounds like a big toaster to me, that takes and burns off the power and heat energy. Anyways, they would like us to reimburse them for the difference between what they would pay from their own project as from Swan. I have gone on record as saying I categorically do not approve of that. That we, this community, burns diesel every time we have a maintenance at Tyee, and we have never once asked the pool to compensate us the difference between our wholesale rate and what we pay when we pay diesel. We have always passed that on to our ratepayers, and I think it's an incredibly dangerous precedence. The second thing is I find it a little bit galling that we are investing millions of dollars, over $10 million in this race that will substantially benefit the community of Ketchikan, while we all collectively, as we should through the pool, assume some of the burden. And I have voiced that very clearly to the folks from Ketchikan and Trey. I have not heard back yet what the latest negotiations have come to, but I have actually stated that I would rather scrap the project this year, walk away from it, and it would cost us some money to walk away because we started to mobilize up on it, but I would rather scrap the project for this year until we sort this out, because there's a big elephant in the room and we need to deal with it. So I'll keep the community and the assembly informed as we go along.
Does Petersburg feel the same way? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah, Joe and John and Mark in Petersburg all feel the same way. And we all have Petersburg as well. We've never even raised it as an option to compensate us when something's happening with Tyee. I also put forward a motion in the last meeting to start a report, or a research project into putting a third turbine in at the Tyee project. This would be a very large capital outlay for the pool. We don't actually have the water to run three consecutive turbines, but what the third turbine would do is create a backup if one of our other turbines goes down, or we have to do maintenance. For us in Wrangell, because we don't have a standalone project, we only have diesel generation, if Tyee goes down, that's a big hit to our ratepayers. Petersburg actually has some little hydro projects that they can put into play. So I've asked for management to start to look at this, and this is probably a 5-year plus project, but it would be a big project if we went through and put in the third turbine. And then that would also open us up to the potential of doing a raise at Tyee eventually, and create further power generation if we found we needed it, because we can do the transmission on it.
So Steve, if we put in a third turbine, can we get away from the generators?
No, the generators,
it's for line maintenance,
it's for outages, and you know, when diesel's high, we're maxing those out, and we actually have the potential to run three turbines at our peak. Now diesel's going to go up again eventually, who knows when, but and so we would have that potential, and we wouldn't have to run anything. But we do peak. There's times where we peak up on the two turbines. So we will still always have to run the generators.
Just on that subject, Clay has come into contact with a person that brokers use diesel engines. And he actually had one there that was as big as the biggest one we have. And before, we were talking $2.5 million, and that was about $400,000, and it didn't have that many hours on it. It had, someone had bought it at one time, and it has just been, they never did end up putting it in. It's a one you just kind of kind of a standalone thing. You can just sit somewhere. It's all got its enclosure and everything. You'd still have to integrate it with the power plant and switch gear and all kind of other stuff and get it up here and installed. So you might have $1 million, but it's that instead of $3 million that we were looking at. So they are out there that I think we can do this pretty cheap and maybe sooner than we thought we could. So that is something, a positive thing in the future. So.
You're still looking at putting it in up by the reservoirs?
Mm-hmm. That's where we put it.
And it's actually crucial that we have that backup power, because when we're peaking in the wintertime, if we have a lot of electric heat going, and if we put in a new hospital as well, that would have a huge demand on that line going down the road there. So that would allow us to weather those peaks and improve that infrastructure.
Any other reports, comments? Okay, appointment to fill the various vacancies of the city boards, committees, and commissions. We have Planning and Zoning Commission, an unexpired term until 2017. Economic Development Committee, unexpired term until October 2018. Then there are three vacancies on the Nolan Museum Civic Center Board, one expiring in 2016 and the other two in 2018. And there are no letters of interest for any of these boards. Then there's a vacancy on the Rainbow Medical Center Hospital Board, an unexpired term ending October of this year. And we have no letters for that. Next item on the agenda is persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for anyone in the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you'll not have the opportunity to speak unless an assembly member has specific questions regarding that item. There are no one signed up to speak. Item 12, unfinished business. Proposed ordinance, we have no unfinished business. Item 13, new business. Proposed ordinance number 917, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City of Burl, Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 14.11.005 fee schedule of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to fees for use of harbor and port facilities. This is a first reading.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 917 and to move to a second with public hearing on June 14, 2016.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I think we'll get a lot of discussion before the public hearing or at the public hearing.
I got a question for the Harbor Master, Greg Meisner.
Would you come forward, please?
Transit fees and stuff. How are we in line with other cities and all that stuff on transit fees? I know I talked to you about this a little bit, Greg, but I'm kind of, I don't get your... Yeah, I do. Where's transit fees on the spreadsheet?
Day rates.
Just the day rates, that's where it's at?
Yeah. That's what you pay. People, there's transit monthly as well. The monthly transits are both daily and monthly.
Okay.
So that gives you an idea of who's paying what. Have you seen the red over there too, under the red ones that pop up? And it shows, not just the red, but it shows increase on some of them. Bobby called today to freshen this up to see how, we created this original graph months ago.
Okay.
But she called today to see if anything had changed. And you see there's some increases going on as well. On the left hand column, the first column, you see who's doing what.
Mr. Mayor,
Yes.
And this, this is with the proposed changes?
Yeah, our numbers are in this. The proposed numbers are in this, so you'd see where we lie.
Okay, so then also, I read it in here, you're talking about 2% increase per year.
Yes, what led to that was when we were looking at the problem we perceived, which was we're not bringing up money to the bank to do any road work on the road that we thought we needed to do. So we started to have Lee help us with some graphs showing if we do this increase or that increase, what would show over 45 years. And he showed us a couple of different increases, and he threw up a 1% annual every year, that new balance goes up 1% for your rate to show how quickly that would increase over 45 years. So that was just a 1% suggestion throughout this for the conversation. So the work commission thought 2%, try to keep up with inflation, but averages up 2% was their intent. Now writing the ordinance, you see it written differently. We didn't know. They threw up the idea of just 2% every year. When writing it, Kim had to write it differently. That's why you see the spreadsheet showing like a 5-year plan here. It shows the exact amount it goes up rather than simply say 2% with even the customer confused.
Well, 2% is not even on the current level of inflation then. It is?
Yes.
For Wrangell?
Oh. I don't know about for Wrangell, but you're actually getting a stage of deflation, so.
That's not good enough.
Well, I can see your numbers.
So, Greg, I think it's easy for us to hone in on one little section of this or that, or I guess I'm looking for your overall global feeling on this. You know, we just got hit with 38% increase to our health care benefits. And how many staff do you have down there?
There's six.
Six staff. So you just took a 38% increase to your health benefits on your six staff. And we see things going up and up and up. I'm worried that this isn't enough to cover what you're going to be having, I'm not even talking about increased maintenance, R&R, all that stuff.
You could be dead on. The problem is so multifaceted. If you look at the big picture of what we're tasked with doing. In our conversations, kind of started was what are we tasked with doing? That is indefinitely supplying flow support facilities. For our users, and when you look at what that cost, pretty quickly we realize WeWork brings up money in the bank, right?
Oh,
you know, in the bank to do this work over time, and knowing that grants were disappearing and all these freebies, if you will, that we were so lucky to get with the Boatyard and Heritage Harbor, they're not going to be there. And look at the state of what's going on. In Shoemaker's prime example, we rank really well for doing matching grant, but they're funded enough to do us any good, so we're starting from scratch this year. And you're right, what you see mostly on this paper is to recover the flows, replace the flows. We haven't really tackled O&M. In fact, look at all this increase on here, we're still operating at $13 a foot as a harbor. When you look down the scale here, you see even Skagway is $14 a foot. They're tying a little harbor beside a Shoemaker and a couple of little staff. So we're really operating on pennies still. You know, and our thought was if the permanent moorage paid for the facilities down the road, would the transient increases be enough to maybe hold on to the O&M for a year? So we're just going to watch that and see if it does. It's kind of
steep. Because if I may, one of the things right today is $25 a foot per year. For no matter what size boat you have. One thing that that is different now, and it's actually this first increase is way more than that.
It's $3.
It's going from, if you have a big boat, 50 foot and up, it's going from $25 to $38. So you're going up almost 50% for the bigger boat. So after this first jump with the kind of this different structure, So you're getting that big jump, and then you're getting 2% onto that. So it isn't we're going up 2% next year, and the next year, it's a lot more than that. It's just after that is done, it will go up. So I think you got to keep that in mind, too.
You bet. And that's why I said when I started. Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
That's why I said when I started out, I don't want to focus in on any given rate. I'm really looking for our harbor master's overall impression if we're going to be able to cover off the things, because I, you know, my gut is that we have not been keeping up with our operational maintenance and replacement, and that creates liability for the community that the city has to incur. And the other thing that we all know is that what we pay today to fix something is not what we're going to pay tomorrow. There will be a percentage increase as we put these projects off, both from increased degradation and just the fact that materials are more down the road. So I worry about that.
We're not going to have enough money. I mean, not too much money. Let me word it that way. I mean, just to give you an example in what we're doing. And Jeff's right. We went from a cross-board flat rate for a 20-foot skiff, which the infrastructure is very cheap. The same rate for an 80-footer where that infrastructure is very expensive per foot, square foot. And we made that the bigger boats pay more now. When we were looking at what each thing was creating, each thing being installed, just for we look at the square foot rate to put Shoemaker in, the new estimate we have to put Shoemaker Harbor. You look at an 80-foot stall, and you put an 80-foot stall in right now, it costs about $106,000 per stall, that one finger for two boats. And at $25 per foot, 12 of that going into the deferred maintenance, that finger would only create a 45-year estimated lifespan, $90,000. You wouldn't even create enough to pay for it today, let alone 45 years down the road. And that's what we're really, and that's not counting the dock it's attached to, or the head dock, or the gangway, or the lights, or the water, or the parking lot, just the finger. You wouldn't be paying for the finger cost. So we knew we were way out of base. So, but you're right, it is going to go up 2% if this is all accepted. But that's all going in the maintenance fund. So again, the O&M might be different on the I have a proposed budget of lousy $10,000 more in the maintenance budget. But we're going to have to start doing some large capital things every year to help offset waiting to replace these things down the road, or this won't be functional. Along with our rates. I mean, we're going to be going into capital projects, and hopefully we can fund some things down the road, which sadly enough eats away at the very fund you're trying to save to replace a dock with.
Well, that's what bothers me the most is the Shoemaker. Sorry, Mr. Mayor. The Shoemaker project is a classic example of us not forward funding that project. And now we're going to pay a premium through a bond. Is it a bond or a revenue bond? A revenue bond. We're going to wind up paying a premium for that. So it's going to cost the community more because we elected to push that off down the road so that whoever was 20, when my boat was out there 20 years ago, I could enjoy great rates. But now the community will pay for that.
Well, the problem is, too, looking at the $210,000 we make right now per year on that deferred maintenance fund, if we didn't float that $2.5 million to do Shoemaker, that's about $175,000 a year payment estimate. So that of that $210,000 you make, $175,000 goes to pay the bond. So now the kitty's getting filled even slower. So Your next dock in line is way down the road.
Yeah.
And then by the time it gets done, the one that's waiting third in line, very floating. So that's the road. You know, if everything was new today, fine. The worst thing is some of these docks are 50 years old already.
Okay, thank you.
Steve, one other thing is up until 2007 or 8 or somewhere, the state of Alaska owned all those.
Right.
So they were the ones responsible for replacing them. But I can tell you, and Greg can confirm this, that one of the reasons, of course, is they wanted to get out of the harbor business and were turning these over to the cities, and they basically said, well, you can take it, but if you don't, and we'll give you some money, and that wasn't very much, but we'll you know, start this matching grant program and da-da-da-da-da. But what the deal is, one of the main driving points of that was Wrangell. Our rates were so low, and we weren't doing the maintenance and the upkeep because we didn't have the rates to do it. And at one point, they actually said, almost told us, you need to raise the rates. Your rates are ridiculous. And we were probably one of the driving forces behind the harbors turning these over from the state, because we weren't really pulling our way. And so it's been a history of that in some ways that kind of forced this back onto all the cities. And wouldn't you feel that way?
Well, you were. And it wasn't that people were doing anything wrong. It's just we're all driven visually, whether we like it or not. So you look at a float system that's going to give you 45 years of life. 25 years in, it's still going to look relatively new. It just is. They really a slow decline. You get 30 years in, that decline steepens a bit. 40 years, it falls off the table, and also you go, well, look where we're at. That's the problem. You don't think it's really going bad until it's too late. And a lot of our stuff is at that end where it's starting to shoot straight down. That's just the nature of the beast. And again, I don't think anybody's doing anything wrong. They just work hard to keep rates low and thought we were doing fine. We've never thought that 50 years down the road, we have to write a check.
Any further questions? Thank you. Any further comments? Discussion? Vote, please.
Assemblymembers Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, approval of a facility use agreement between SEPA and the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department, a division of the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Move to approve the facility use agreement between SEPA and the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department, a division of the City and Borough of Wrangell, for the radio repeater at the Edlin Shelter.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I just fill in a little bit, Mr. Mayor. It's an absolutely crucial piece of relay equipment for us that opens up the whole southern end. And we can switch our fire radios over and communicate directly back to town. Search and rescues, and it really is a vital source for us. And we've had trouble keeping that repeater going. By allowing us to tag in, we can tag into power and maintenance and all kinds of other things. So it's a great example of two organizations working together for the community's good.
Any further discussion? Vote, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, approval of the fiscal year 2016-17 Wrangell Medical Center budget.
Move to approve the Wrangell Medical Center's fiscal year 2016-2017 annual budget as presented.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Vote, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. 13D, approval of the proposal for the 911 call taking system.
Move to approve the contract with Convix 911 Inc. for the products and services to install the proposed PSAP in contract amount of $189,031 with funding to come from the SHSP grant.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Oval, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. That's all new business. Item 14, attorney's file. Summary report was provided to assembly members. Item 15, executive session. We have none. Item 16 is adjournment, which will be at 7:48 p.m.